Hello and welcome to another edition of the NBA Outlet presented by OTGBasketball.com. Be sure to follow OTG on Twitter and also hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me as always, Harris Wishard. How you doing, Harris?
What's up, Nick? Getting ready for March Madness. I know sometimes you prefer to watch the NBA game, almost all nights you prefer, but I know next couple of days are going to be very interesting in college hoops. Still a ton going on in the NBA coming down the stretch here.
Yeah, no, like you said, I obviously love the NBA. But I'll check out March Madness. Specifically, I like to look at the players. You know, I'll do a lot of, like, reading about draft prospects at this time. So I kind of get a feel for them and kind of see their game. I'll especially check out, like, the later rounds. But it's pretty interesting. But we got a cool promotion going on at OTG. We're having our own OTG March Madness Signature Challenge giveaway. So what it is we're giving away three autographed NBA cards, Frank Kaminsky, Kelly Oubre Jr., and Dwight Powell. So young guys, they do have potential, so these cards could have value in the future. All you have to do is join our group on ESPN. All the information's on the OTG website, and you just got to follow us on Instagram at @off_the_glass_, and follow us on Twitter at OTG Basketball. So it's really easy. It's free. You don't have to do anything but put a bracket in. And there's first place for the cards that I mentioned, and then second place we're going to have another card, just going to be a jersey card, so it'll have a piece of a player's jersey in it. And then third place, we're just going to hand out some rookie cards. So check it out. It's free. And it's obviously just March Madness is always fun. And it's maybe you can get lucky and pick the right bracket.
Yeah. As of this year, to me, there's several teams that can win the tournament. And, you know, there's not one, like, clear-cut favorite. I know Villanova's trying to repeat. But to me, there's 8, 9, 10 teams that could win it. It's a wide-open field. In the past, there's been some clear cuts, and I don't think that's this season. There's a lot of wide open basketball, and like you said, there's been some mock drafts on OTG. Gives you an opportunity to understand who the lottery picks are going to be. This is a time of year where guys could really improve their stock or decrease their stock based on performance.
Them in the big moment, you know, you get to see them on the spotlight and when it really matters the most, and they're playing other high talented players. Cause you know, when it gets down to the final four, a lot of the players playing are going to be NBA prospects or D league prospects.
Yeah. 100%. And you know, like guys like Steph that came out of nowhere with Davidson and the Jimmer Fredettes of BYU. And it's always that great time of year to see the underdog, the Cinderella team and Cinderella players come out of nowhere and establish themselves. And we know that's going to take place as well. So it's always fun to watch and always a fun time of year. And like you said, it's a great opportunity to watch some prospects and should be fun.
And it's also cool to see the guy that, you know, is not going to make the NBA, you know, he's not going to have a professional NBA career, but he hits some big shots and some big moments. And he, you know, has a meaningful stretch in his senior year of college basketball.
Well, I read an article yesterday, Where Are They Now? And, you know, 25 out of the 30 guys probably have nothing to do with basketball right now. I know some of them are on staffs and coaching and scouts and things of that nature. But a lot of these guys won't go pro. And not to sound cliche, but this is the song they play at the end of the tournament, that one shining moment for a lot of these guys. And it's really, like I said, fun. And a lot of people, I don't know if you're on this boat, but a lot of people consider this Thursday, Friday amongst the most entertaining in sports all year long. And
I don't know if I'm ready to night that Thursday and Friday that, but I do think it's pretty entertaining basketball wise.
Yeah, no question. And I know this guy, something that I wanted to bring up. I know this guy, LeVar Ball, won't stop talking.
Oh my God.
And he's brought a lot of NBA names into the hat. And I wanted to ask you, do you think this is a lot of people have said it's about the brand. It's about the three baller brand or big baller brand, whatever. I mean, at some point I think he'll quiet down, but some people tell me there's no signs of that happening. What do you make of this LeVar Ball stuff?
I mean, he's in the spotlight. Obviously, he didn't have a very successful basketball career. I think he averages like 2 points a game at Washington State. So, I mean, he's taking advantage of his son, you know, being in his sons being, you know, great basketball players. I think part of it might be right. It's the publicity. I've once heard Floyd Mayweather say, cheers or boos, it doesn't really matter. Either way, you're relevant. So I mean, in those terms, it is building up their brand. But, I mean, I think he puts a lot of pressure on his son. I've heard he's really poised. So I don't know what's going to happen from here. I know our OTG writer, Matthew Handel, posted a clip of him today. I think he was on one of the ESPN shows, and he was facing, like, Marcellus one-on-one on, like, a small hoop. It was pretty entertaining. But it's – I mean, obviously –
Oh, wait, LeVar Ball was on TV?
Yeah. He was on
Sports Nation.
Yeah, Sports Nation. So, and he was playing Marcellus one-on-one on like a mini hoop. I mean, it was pretty funny. So, I mean, it's just all hype. It doesn't really matter. You can just talk. Like, it's kind of just annoying that he's getting so much attention when all he's just speaking is trash. Like, nothing that he said is really like a fact. Like, even the fact, like, I understand you're confident about your son, but trying to say that he's going to be better than Steph Curry already, like, calm down. Like, don't disrespect other players in the league. Like, you can say that in a nicer way than the way I think he's – it's just, like, rash.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's polarizing for sure. And I guess what it does is brought a lot of attention to his sons. I think what's good is that we knew of the sons before we knew him.
And he kind of just built off his own kid's hype, which is kind of sad, but whatever.
Yeah, and you know what? His son is, you know, featured at UCLA, and they say the middle son is not as good – but Lonzo has done nothing to make us think that he won't be a top three or four pick in the draft. And a lot's been discussed about him possibly being a Los Angeles Laker. And I know they need the help, all the help they can get. And you've been critical of the Lakers lately. And now they shut down – they're shutting down Deng and Mozgov for the rest of the year.
Yeah. So those signings, I think we all remember when the Lakers signed Mozgov, like, soon as free agency started, everyone was like, what? Like, at first, they're like, oh, the contract is crazy, but the cap's going up. It's not as bad. But obviously, the way they've progressed this season and the impact that Mozgov's had, not very much. Luol Deng, I mean, I think the 4 years was a little long on his contract, but he's more of an understandable signing because he has some versatility, has some veteran leadership. Like, Mozgov, he just doesn't really fit with the new NBA. He would have been an okay player to have, but now they're shutting them down. They're just sitting on that contract. So, I mean, their play has been pretty bad. I've talked to you about this, but they're not, like, trying to win. So they're just trying to develop players. But they do look – or tough to watch sometimes. What do you think about them?
Yeah, like you said, tough to watch. I think early in the year, this was one of the groups that we had our eye on.
First month or two of the season, I mean, at one point they were in the playoff standings. They were about the eighth or seventh seed, and they got off to a hot start. And I think they might have had a win over the Warriors or something, and everyone was kind of starting to, like – hop on their hype train, and things have completely turned around from that.
I like the direction they're headed in as far as a Magic Johnson, and I did like that move.
I like the change in management, obviously, because the guys we just talked about them signing Deng and Mozgov, the old management signed these players. So now I think there's more of a focus on the young players, and they understand that they're not going to be a championship team anytime soon. They need to develop these guys. It's going to take a few years. So, and who knows, maybe they land Paul George in a few years. And Magic Johnson helps just because he attracts free agents because he was such a great player and people want to associate with him.
Yeah, 100%. And I've always said that Walton was the right man for this job. The jury is still out on that. As far as this season goes, but I like what I saw at times. I mean, he's given the young guys an opportunity to develop. Now they have 15 games left. They're, like you said, they're shutting down the vets, and they're going to give the young guys an opportunity. And this team has given young guys opportunities for a couple seasons now. I know Laker Nation might get a little impatient, but they have the top three protected pick, and it looks like that's probably around the area they'll fall, and a lot of players will be on display in this tournament that they'll have their eyes on.
Yeah, for sure. If you had to rank, you know, the key young pieces for the Lakers, D'Angelo Russell, Jordan Clarkson, Brandon Ingram, and Julius Randle, and even Ivan Zubac, how would you rank them in order of, like, who do you think is going to have the biggest career?
I think, and you know, I've always been high on Clarkson, but I think Randle has the most upside. I think he's developed this year, and I think, you know, being that his jumper has come a long way. I think if I would say their upside is Randle, I think Russell might have more upside than Clarkson right now. That's yeah, no, close.
I think Russell has more upside. I think Clarkson, you kind of have a better idea of what you're already getting. You know, like he's going to bring it. He's going to be that energy type of player, but I don't think he has all-star potential. I see Russell as a possible all-star, but I also could see him like plummeting and not having a successful career. I don't think he's like locked in, but he's a talented player. I might put Ingram at number one because I just think there's so much potential there with that length and athletic ability. And I like the potential on the defensive end. But if I had to rank them, I'd probably go Ingram, Russell, Randall, and Clarkson, and then Zubac. Because I don't really know. Zubac still has more to show us.
But he had a great game the other night.
Yeah, he definitely has potential. I actually don't even want to include him in this because we got to see more of him before. Because these other guys we've seen play for a season or two, and we kind of have a better understanding of who they are. And we've seen Ingram's college career too. So,
but yeah, I had to say their most valuable pieces going forward, I think I might put Randall above Ingram just because of him being a more polished offensive player. But again, Randall's what is his second season? Third? Well, actually, I think it's his. He broke his leg, so I know this is either his.
It's probably his third and his second season actually playing.
Yeah, second full season, and this is obviously Ingram's rookie campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a player right now, Randall is definitely better, but I think going forward, you can see more potential in Ingram's game, where he could be, you know, a dominant NBA player in some aspects because of his length and athletic ability. You know, his like wingspan is ridiculous, so. I mean, if I was a Laker fan, it's disappointing to have losing seasons, but it's obviously nice to see pieces on your team that you could see being all-stars in the future.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Well, talking about teams that are in rebuilding, let's talk a little bit Knicks and Nets. So, obviously, the Knicks and Nets played this week already. The Nets won. I think they play again tomorrow. And I asked you and Jonathan this question last week. Who do you think has the brighter future right now? And obviously you picked the Knicks, and I'm going to go with the Nets. Might be a little bit biased on this one, so don't question my credibility. But I want to hear your thoughts on why you think the Knicks have a better future.
Well, I think they're just going to clear house, and obviously Porzingis is going to stay around. But I think they're just going to – when they move away from Rose and if they move away from Carmelo, I know they didn't deal him over in the trade deadline, but I just tend to think that they have Porzingis is going to be my main cog in this argument going forward. He might have more potential than anybody on the Nets roster, but I know the Nets their draft pick situation isn't great because of the Celtics, but the Knicks will have their lottery pick this year in addition, an opportunity to continue to get better.
Well, my main argument in this point will be front office. Mm-hmm. You know, and coaching. If you look at this, you know, in the way the Knicks have treated Carmelo Anthony, I don't think players have not noticed that and agents have not noticed that in the way they treated Charles Oakley as well. I think that whole mess has really hurt the Knicks' reputation. And you see what Phil's doing, and he was supposed to come in and create this great team, and they're supposed to be competing in the playoffs. And now they already reset the team once. So now he already has to reset the team twice. Like, from the Knicks' perspective, if they got rid of Phil Jackson, I might say that – the Knicks definitely have the better future because obviously Porzingis is, like you said, he's more talented than any player on the Nets, and I'll give that up. That's fine. But the Knicks don't really have any other young prospects other than that. The Nets, on the other hand, I mean, they're not like oozing with talent, but they have some young guys that they've found, and they've shown a keen ability to pick guys out of the D League. They have guys like Caris LeVert, who I believe will be an all-star type player. I think Rondé could probably be a starter type player in this league. I don't think he'll be an all-star, but he brings great energy to your team. Sean Kilpatrick, another young guy they found, a nice bench piece. So, and I'm a lot more confident in Sean Marks' abilities to manage the Nets and really make sure they handle their money even this year. And they're willing to take a unique attempt to try to rebuild this team. They know that it's not going to be easy. And I also like Kenny Atkinson more than like Jeff Hornacek. Not to say Hornacek's a terrible coach, but Hornacek lost his players in Phoenix. He lost that locker room. Atkinson has had players, obviously this is his first time being a head coach, but players around the league have just talked about how he's been such a help to their game and help to their player development.
I think it might be safe to say that Hornacek might not be back next year.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say that might be too. And I mean, the whole Knicks type of thing where you talk Phil Jackson, where he's coaching practices, and Porzingis said it the other day, and I could tell in the Nets, when the Knicks and Nets played and the Nets were starting to beat the Knicks, like Porzingis was frustrated because he knows his team should be beating the Nets. And he said after the game that there's confusion from the top to the bottom of the Knicks, and they're always changing schemes and different types of things. So it's just like a mess over there.
It is. And I don't know.
In terms of attracting free agents, like if I'm a free agent, both teams play in New York. Obviously, MSG has more hype to it than in Barclays does because it hasn't been around as long, and MSG is considered one of the greatest arenas ever. But do you want to play for James Dolan and Phil Jackson, who both are questionable at best, or do you want to play for Sean Marks and Mikhail Prokhorov, who's not really going to be in your face? Sean Marks seems like a great guy. The Nets are all about their players. This new change that they've had, it hasn't just been their front office, it's been the whole organization. And they've been adding all types of things that kind of please players. A new training facility where it's in Brooklyn that has a Skytop bar. So it's a lot of cool stuff and a lot of different stuff that the Nets are doing. And the Knicks just are trying to, I feel like, live off their name. And it's not working anymore because they're not handling situations correctly.
Yeah, personnel. I guess the only argument that you have in regards to the Knicks is the personnel. And I know their ownership, James Dolan and Jackson, the president of basketball operations, has not made it easy on these guys. And there's been a lot of circus-like things going on at Madison Square Garden. But I still think Porzingis will be able to attract a free agent or two.
I don't think so. I don't think so. If Phil Jackson's still there, why would you want to play for him? Or James Dolan? Like, it's really hard to say, like, a good reason why you'd want to play for either of those guys, especially with the way they – like, the whole Carmelo situation has just been ugly. And Phil Jackson has publicly taken shots at his team's currently probably best player. Like, it's just not how you handle things.
I don't know. I still think they'll be able to – I mean, they haven't been able to. It's a tough
– And I'm not saying the Nets are going to attract everybody, but, like, I'm just saying from a long term – if I'm a young player and I'm not, like, a superstar and I'm saying, oh, what situation is going to be better for me? Yeah, like, Porzingis is going to be a great player. Nobody on the Nets is going to be as great as Porzingis is, but it's also not a one-player game. You know what I mean? They have Willie Hernangómez, but in Holiday, who I think is a free agent. But other than that, do they have young pieces?
No.
So,
Hernangómez has surprised me a lot.
Yeah, no, he's been a nice finding for them as well. I mean, they did sign Chase Randle from the D League. I don't know if they plan to keep him around long term, but I don't know. I'm looking at it from like the big picture, and I think that the Nets actually might be in a better position from the talent. Talent is where you can make the biggest argument, obviously, but you could argue that. Then, like you said, the Knicks could get rid of D Rose. They'll be probably trying to move Carmelo Anthony if he takes away his no trade clause. So, a lot of stuff. I think free agency will be interesting this year. The Nets really need to pick up at least one decent player to help get that progress going. But the nice thing is they have two draft picks this year. They're not their own, but hopefully they can do something in this deep draft.
I think it's kind of crazy how, that this went from. A lot of optimism in the off season, and look how the Noah signing went, and that we've discussed how bad of a contract.
It might be the worst contract in the NBA currently.
Yeah, and the Rose contract, obviously only 1 year, but there's a lot of optimism in their 14 games under 500. I just think, to be honest with you, they're going to be once, and I've said this for years now, and I don't want to sound like an anti-Melo guy. I just don't think it's the right fit. And I think once he's gone, the situation is going to improve because they'll be able to kind of hit the reset button a little bit and not have to focus on an aging veteran. Guy's had an amazing offensive career and will probably be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But I think the post-Melo era is going to get a little cleaner, and it's going to promote, I think, the right type of basketball that the Knicks want to play.
Well, to defend Melo a little bit, though, I mean, the Knicks really never surrounded him with players that were amazing. Like they had, like we've talked about before, they had that one great season where they lost to the Pacers in the second round. But Derrick Rose isn't a great fit with Melo. Melo's always needed like a true point guard. When Chauncey Billups was there, I think that might have been, other than having Jason Kidd there for his little stretch, that would have been was having a solid point guard really helps Melo and helped the Knicks because they were pretty successful at that point. It's not like they were dominating the league or anything, but I think I never liked the Rose fit in New York. And I saw a play, I think, either last night or a day or two ago, and it was a pick and roll. And Derrick Rose ran the pick and roll with Porzingis, and like Porzingis rolled to the basket and Rose like threw the ball like completely like he was standing in the mid-range. So I feel like Rose just doesn't have that passer mentality. not saying he's a bad player, but I mean, I just don't think his role fit well with the Knicks. And as a true point guard, when you have players, like I've said before, you have players like Porzingis and Carmelo, both guys who probably could average over 20 a game, and you have another point guard who wants to average 20 a game, but he's not at that anymore, and he doesn't distribute right. I just never thought that really clicked. That's why I never really bit on that super hype Knicks, like a hype in the offseason. Yeah, I thought they'd be a playoff team, but I never thought they'd be a top four seed, like people were saying.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been a disappointment. And you look at it, like, we both agreed that Rubio would have been a nice fit, and I think that's why Minnesota kind of backed away from that deal. And the young boy has 29. What, he had 19 assists the other night?
Yeah, I think he had 19 assists. He had like 10 in the first quarter. He had himself a night after I was talking bad about him, saying he can't shoot. But I still feel that way. So
don't look now, but those Timberwolves, maybe they'll 7-3 in their last 10. I know Denver's been playing decent basketball too, but they got blown out.
We talked about it. We'd love to see the T-Wolves in there. I'd love to see Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns get their feet wet in the playoffs.
Still have some ground to make up, but
yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's doable. I don't know if they'll do it because they're obviously a young team and inconsistent. And like we said, Denver's playing really good. They got Nikola Jokic running the show over there. And the funny thing about Denver is they're still playing some of their young players. Like Jamal Murray had himself a nice game the other night, and some of these young guys are still getting minutes and they're winning games. And if they make the postseason with these young guys playing and getting minutes in the postseason, playing the clutch minutes too, that's huge for their development.
Definitely. I've been impressed with what I've seen from Denver. I still think that Portland has a decent opportunity to grab that eight spot. But I've told you, if I had to pick, I'd love to see the Timberwolves and Towns and those boys in there and to get, like you said, to get their feet wet in the postseason.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, like Portland, I was starting to be like, oh yeah, it looks like Portland's starting to get hot. Dame Lillard had a few big games, and then they get killed last night by the Pelicans. So they're just like their inconsistency, and they just don't have that same energy that they had last year. They were such underdogs last season. To get where they got was so big, and now this year to not even make the playoffs after. I mean, a lot of us had Portland as probably a top 10 team in the league going into the season, I would say, or around that range.
Yeah, no, we did not expect them to take this kind of step back. What do you attribute most of them?
Well, I think defense, and I mean, last year they just had a really good year. Losing Minos missed a good amount of time, and I think that hurts them because he's probably their best defensive player. He offers versatility for that team. But I also think like Dame and CJ just haven't been as crazy as they were last season. I think their defense has probably fell off a little bit, and that's been a major issue. They just like early in the year, I haven't watched them as closely right now, but I know early in the year they weren't defending at all.
Yeah, no, and I don't know, getting what's the name? Jurkic?
Evan Turner? Say it again. Oh, Nurkic.
Well, Nurkic, excuse me. Nurkic and then, you know, losing Plumlee. I know that hasn't really played a role, but I just – and actually Nurkic has been good with them, but, you know, just maybe some change in roster, and they've kind of maybe lost faith in the direction they were going in.
Yeah, maybe I feel like with that move they said that, you know, they didn't really care as much about the playoffs when they made that move because they picked up the first-round pick and they pick up Nurkic on a better deal and they don't have to worry about playing Plumlee. But I mentioned this before on the pod that they just have so much money locked up to players that don't even play big minutes. You know, we obviously know Dame and CJ get their max contracts. That's fair. Allen Crabbe gets the max for his range and Evan Turner getting the max for his range. And it just really doesn't all work out. And then they paid a Harkless and I think Myers Leonard pretty good contracts this offseason too. So it's tough for them to really – I mean, they're really hoping Nurkic can kind of develop even more. He's had a good impact. What was that game last week he had with like 60 or 70 fantasy points?
Yeah, almost 80, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I like what he brings to the team. He brings like an added toughness and an interior offensive scorer and defender. But they probably still need to rearrange some pieces on that roster this summer.
Yeah, it's one of the big disappointments in the NBA this year, no doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Who's been your biggest surprise this season? What's been like, you know, wow, I did not expect to see that.
Biggest surprise this season. I think it's been, to me, the biggest surprise has probably been the Rockets. I just didn't expect them to be this good. We expect. I don't know if we expect. We expect the Jazz to be, five or six, and they've kind of been a little bit better than we thought. But outside of that, there hasn't been a lot of surprise. I think the Rockets have definitely been a little better than I expected them to be.
Yeah, I would say as my positive surprise, I would go with the Rockets. As you know, I don't think they're a ton better because I thought they were going to be a good team and probably a top four seed going into the season. Surprising though is Miami. And not just because of their start, just going to the season, I wasn't very high on them. And the way Spoelstra's had these young players able to play and play together and really get the most out of his guys has been pretty incredible.
Yeah, you're looking at the 8, 9, 10 down there. The 6. This is pretty incredible that the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 is separated by just two games.
Yeah.
I mean, so,
it's going to be a fun race.
You can see Miami go as high as 6. You could see Chicago go as high as 6. So.
I'm hoping Chicago doesn't make the playoffs. I just feel like they're not really that into it. Like, some games they come to play, some games they just seem like they don't even care. And, like, it's just better for that team to kind of reset.
You don't want to see Bulls-Cavs first round?
I mean, I don't think it really matters enough for it to – you know what I mean? Like, maybe it would be an exciting series, but I'd rather see the Bulls just go full reset and then trade Jimmy Butler to another team. And then maybe Dwayne Wade's going to obviously go somewhere else too. So makes the Bulls bad and then makes another team really good adding Jimmy Butler and then another team probably good adding Dwayne Wade. Who knows what Dwayne Wade wants to do too. Who knows if he wants to take a small contract, if he wants a big contract or what. It could change the NBA landscape moving those two guys.
Let me ask you this question because Bogut played about 9 seconds for the Cavs and they waived him. Do you think Larry Sanders, the new addition who disappeared from basketball last year and was with the Bucks, now the Cavs pick him up, will have any impact going forward for them?
I mean, he could potentially have impact. It's tough to say. I think like Bogut, they were looking to have that big man that could come in and really bang with guys in the post and give them that protection. Larry Sanders isn't that type of player. Obviously, I haven't seen him play in quite some time. But he's more of an athletic type, a shot blocker, and he can kind of give you a versatile piece defensively. So he would, I think, be a nice player to have to match up with some small ball lineups sometimes because he could probably guard some of the quicker guys. But it's tough to say because we don't really know what to expect from him. When you're away from basketball for that long, it does have an impact. But who knows, playing with LeBron can make him have the best year of his career.
Very possible. I think he'll have some sort of impact. I'm not sure.
I think Darren Williams' impact, and we've talked about this before, I feel like it's starting to have a nice addition to the Cavs. He's starting to get his legs under him, and he just gives him that other playmaker, and he just understands what the Cavs are trying to do. Like, a lot of times you see players out there, and they don't really, especially when they add a new team, they don't really understand what's going on or what the concept of the team is or, you know, like, what the identity is. But I think he has a good understanding of the players on that team and what his role is. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
would they go out last night and make, like, what, 10 straight threes?
Yeah, I mean, they're just – obviously, they still have some rough stretches of Cavs, but LeBron still has that ability to just flip the switch. The only thing I'm slightly worried about for the Cavs is LeBron playing so many minutes. And the people would be like, oh, it doesn't really matter. But, you know, he's going to have to play a shit ton of minutes in the playoffs, too, because he's not getting much rest in the playoffs. And then after you've done this 6 straight seasons, it does catch up to you. Mm-hmm.
No question. And the last thing I wanted to talk about was this Warrior team that had struggled of late, lost 5 of 7, down double digits at home to the Sixers. I watched the first half. It looks like the mojo is missing a little bit. The magic dust is looks like it's rubbed off a little bit from the last couple of seasons. But they get their act together. They come back and win this game in the fourth quarter, and Draymond Green was excellent.
Yeah, Draymond Green stepped up. He had some moments in this game where he just kind of brought it. He was playing defense at a tenacious level. He was just, like, so engaged, and he kind of added that energy back to the team, maybe adding to that magic dust that you're talking about. But I think part of the problem for them is they're just not hitting quite as many shots. You know, like, people don't understand the last few seasons. I actually was talking about with somebody today is they hit a high percentage of shots, like, that you usually don't hit, and it's really hard to maintain that level for a long period of time. So I think it's fair for them to have a, you know, a down stretch of shooting when they shoot a ridiculous percentage for almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot of the Warriors going to the postseason is going to be the health of Kevin Durant. if Durant isn't fully healthy, we could see this team not even probably make the Western Conference Finals, and I'm not being crazy. But if Durant's not healthy and he's not 100%, or maybe he's not even able to come back on the floor, like, they could lose to other teams in the Western Conference, not just the Spurs. Like we've talked about, Houston could probably beat them.
It's not impossible, and it's definitely going to be a shootout out there in the West. It's not going to be a shoo-in for sure, as I think the Eastern Conference might be.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say for the Eastern Conference, though, too. Like, the Cavs have to match up with Boston or Washington that second round. That's not a pretty matchup. You know, I don't think that they'll sweep them, but I think they'll win. But it's not going to come easy, as it's come probably in the past.
Yeah, they'll probably stay away from Boston or Washington until the Eastern Conference Finals, but they'll probably get the Toronto-Atlanta winner.
Yeah, I mean, Toronto gets back Lowry. They're not like a joke. You know what I mean? I think that makes a big impact. They haven't really got to play full strength yet, you know, with Ibaka, Tucker, DeRozan, Lowry. And so, I mean, I want to see the Raptors full strength. I think the postseason is going to be good both ways, East and West.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. But do you have any – I know you filled out a bracket, but did you pick a national champion?
I just went with Duke. I like Coach K. So, I mean, I'm not like a big college guy. I don't follow it, but I'll root for Duke usually sometimes if I'll see it. And I've heard they've had some nice young prospects, as long as Grayson Allen doesn't try to trip anybody.
Listen, if you think you've heard enough about LaVar Ball and UCLA – imagine if they won the national championship. What would that be like for I think what's crazy is that would probably be the first thing people think of. They win, and then it's, oh, I got to see this guy on my TV screen again.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would be really good for Ball, not his dad, Alonzo Ball, like his hype going into the NBA draft. Like, if he was able to get UCLA to the championship game and win, I think that would be a huge boost for his draft stock, and I think that would probably lock him in as number one pick.
Yeah, he definitely has a chance to be the one pick. I think
I've heard Jason Kidd comparisons to him with a better jump shot, but it's not the smooth looking jump shot. It just works.
Yeah, no, it's not conventional, but it gets the job done. And I think they'll go deep. I have them in the Final Four. And
who's your championship? Who's your champ?
I have Villanova repeating right now. I've been going back and forth, but
who's you've been going back and forth with? Yeah,
with UCLA and Villanova, I think that might be the national championship game.
That'd be pretty interesting, pretty fun. The game last year was crazy.
Yeah.
I'll be more in tune to check in like late games now just because of what I saw last year. I mean, there's always some crazy plays.
For sure, and definitely enjoy these. I don't know how much you're going to watch it, but I consider it probably the most entertaining 2 days in sports, Thursday, Friday of the NCAA tournament. And for everybody out there, enjoy that. Enjoy the NBA games. We'll see you over the weekend.
Yeah, and don't forget to enter OTG's March Madness contest. Get you some free autograph NBA cards. And as well, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes. As always, thanks for listening. We'll catch you on Saturday.
Have a good one, guys.